A very warm welcome, everybody, to the podcast Hearers of the Word, offered by Kieran O'Mahony. By way of exception, I'm reflecting this week not on the Gospel, but on the second reading, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Our ancient and wholesome custom is to remember our beloved dead, especially in this month of November. The reading from Paul is especially helpful. You may have noticed that the reading is offered in a shorter and a longer version. The shorter version leaves out the very apocalyptic verses which follow, verses people might find puzzling today. On the other hand, it is no harm to be aware of the world of Paul, very much an apocalyptic world view. In both sections, however, there are phrases of great clarity and comfort. And this week, I would like to read the reading before making any remarks. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The background is easy enough to grasp. The new believers in Thessalonica, very few, one imagines, were so convinced of the immediate end that the death of some members of the community was unexpected and triggered an anxiety. Would those who had already died be somehow missing out when the end came? Paul's advice is very pastoral. Grieve, of course, because that is natural, but not as others do who have no hope. The very next verse puts in plain and clear language our hope of resurrection. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with them those who have died. Verse 14. That plain language is picked up again at the end of the reading, when Paul says very simply, "We will be with the Lord forever." Verse 17c. In between, verses 15 to 17b reflect the imagery and energy of Jewish apocalyptic. As such, the imagery should not be taken literally. It is using expressive language to reassure the Thessalonians. Paul has this teaching as a word from the Lord, that is, it came to him as a discernment or a prophetic word. Anyone still alive will not be at an advantage, and those already dead will not be at a disadvantage. Then Paul pictures the second coming with special sound effects, the cry, the call, and the trumpet, leading to the resurrection, first of all the dead. The living and the dead then join together to be with the Lord forever, going back to the plainer language of verse 14. And verse 15 concludes with a note of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians is Paul's first letter to have come down to us. Later on, he gives the same teaching in different, sometimes richer ways. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, we read as follows. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Even more energetically, we read in Romans 8, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. Our Christian hope is grounded on an intuition and a conviction. The intuition has been well expressed by Edward Skillebix in a Eucharistic prayer he once composed, where he says, "Therefore, we now bring to mind the many who have gone from us, all the people whom we've loved so much. Our Father, we cannot believe that all they have meant for us is lost forever. You are their life, now and always." The conviction is grounded not in any natural optimism, but in Jesus' own resurrection from the dead, the core proclamation of the faith then and always. Sometimes our imagination fails us when we try to imagine life after death. Where are our beloved dead is a natural enough question. Even more, how will it be for me? And Paul expands our imagination in the second part of 1 Corinthians 15. It's always worthwhile to reflect on his powerful sequence in that chapter, especially chapter 15, verses 35 to 49. But even the great Paul realized the limits of our present experience and the limits of our language. And so finally, even he says, "Look, I will tell you a mystery." Perhaps it is enough to go back to the plain words of the earlier Paul. "We shall be with the Lord. He is our Emmanuel, God with us always, now and forever. Amen." Thank you very much, everybody.